Welcome to the Fields of Fantasy podcast, hosted by Pestel and Ed.
Hello and welcome to the Fields of Fantasy podcast. Yes, your ears are not deceiving you. This is Ed and not Pestel. And Ed is joined by Tom. So it's just us two today. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
As talkative as always, why change the habit of a lifetime? No, Pestel can't be bothered this week, is the honest answer. Is that right, Tom?
That's what he told me, yeah.
And in an effort to sabotage us, he has left the mic at home. So we're recording sans mic. So if the sound quality isn't great, that's because Pestel knows we're going to do a great job and he will destroy us in the edit. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. So, well, we're here for our final rookie preview show before the draft. So before we move on to that, just get a bit of admin out of the way. As always, hopefully you're not getting bored of us hearing this. I just wanted to promote our TH Best Ball Bonanza, which is going very well. Very happy with the number so far, Tom.
You need to get yourself signed up because I reckon there actually won't be any spaces left.
That's
flowing compared to last year.
That's the spirit, Tom. That is it. Yeah, so we're over 100. So we've already beaten last year's numbers, which we're really happy with many months to go. Loads of money. I think over £800 already raised for Beast and Memory Cafe. So thank you so much if you've signed up. And if not, remember you can sign up now and donate later. That's absolutely fine. But yeah, as Tom says, the spaces might go and you'd be gutted if you could not compete for that ring.
That is such a good prize.
Just ask Samuel Madams, I'm sure, and last year's winner who admires it on a daily basis. So yeah, we are a week out from the draft. I think next week's show, a pre-draft show that Pestel will be recording, will be focusing on some sleeper picks that might come out of the draft. But we have one position left to look at, Tom, and it is the tight end position. So we've done quarterbacks. There's quite a few big candidates there. Wide receiver, a really deep class.
Oh yeah, chock a block.
Absolutely chock. Running backs, me and Pestel discussed last week. I mean, you know, there's a couple of candidates, yeah, but nothing major. Tight ends, what do we think then in this tight end class? What is it looking like overall?
There's a couple, right? There are a few real, real impressive looking talents, but it does drop off quite quickly, I think. Quite quickly you're taking a punt and you're hoping that it's going to work out in terms of coaching and that kind of stuff. But there are a couple of really impressive names, I think, in there.
A lot of things I read when I was reading up on them was like, with coaching will improve and will need a lot of input. And I think particularly, I mean, when we focus on tight ends, I suppose from when we're looking at it from a fan's perspective, we're looking at them as from a receiver, aren't we?
Yeah.
But great tight ends need to be able to block as well. And that's what scouts will be looking for. They want that dual threat, don't they? It's no good being a receiver, just a receiver as a tight end. You need to be able to block.
Yeah, and I think even in fantasy, you know, the fact that the players can block, get them on the field and they have more opportunities to make points, don't they? So that is an important fact to consider, you know, and like you say, the scouts are going to be looking for it.
And, we'll come on to talk about them individually. But yeah, lots of them have upside when it comes to receiving, but there's real question marks over their ability to block, the inline blocking, and I suppose that comes down to size, amongst other things. But we're going to go through and talk about some of the top candidates. Now, let's just talk about last year's tight end draft class. I mean, one of the best of recent years, Sam Laporta finished as tight end one in fantasy football. I mean, Brock Bowers, who we'll come on to talk about, is quite some talent, but I think even he would do well to finish as tight end one, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that would depend on landing position and things like that, but he is expected to be a day one starter, isn't he?
Definitely. And I mean, it wasn't just Laporta. Dalton Kincaid was also impressive. He finished as tight end 11. Yeah. Are tight ends going to be fantasy relevant in their rookie season? I mean, that's the question we're here to ask, really, isn't it? And I mean, no is normally the answer, would we say?
I would say it's been changing and a bit been improving. You know, if we look over recent years, obviously you've mentioned Kincaid, Laporta, but there's other names in there, right? McBride obviously had a fantastic second season. If I can segue to the Packers, Musgrave and Kraft were both very good.
True.
Frymuth with a better quarterback, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, he had a drop-off, didn't he? But he had a great rookie season. Yeah. I think when I was looking at the rookie rankings, 2022 was not a great year for rookie tight ends. The highest-placed rookie tight end was 25th overall. Who was that?
Not Kyle Pitts.
No, not Kyle Pitts. No, because he was the year before. It's just, he's been around, he's done 3 years now, really? Kyle Pitts. It flies by. No, Chigakonkwo was 25th overall, yeah. Yeah, and then in 2021, Pitts was sixth in his rookie season, and Freiermuth was 13th. So, yeah, there is, I mean, Pitts...
Is now the time to gamble on Pitts? That's the real question.
Every tight end discussion, we've got to talk about Kyle Pitts. But yeah, I mean, if he was affected by landing spot, wasn't he?
Oh, 100%. Ultimately.
So, but, you know, I kind of forgotten that he had such a great rookie season, that he was tight end six overall. Yeah. So he did live up to the hype, even though, you know, he's had some sticks since. Beyond Bowers, is there much to get excited about in terms of fantasy football? Possibly not, but there might be some that are worth stashing on taxi squads. And the quote of the week last week, Tom, I'm sure you've listened, landing spot dependent could be fantasy relevant in their rookie season. So, number one, a bit like wide receivers, there's no doubt about who the number one is.
Oh yeah, Brock Bowers. So obviously a Georgia Bulldog, just 22 years old when he's coming out. And he's a two-time Mackey Award winner. Do you know what the Mackey Award is?
No.
Mackey Award is the best tight college tight end.
Is Mackey like a person?
He was. Oh, yes, right, he was an elite tight end. Well, I'm saying that. I'm only guessing that. Don't hold me to that. But I'm pretty
rubbish
sure
tight
he was a good tight end. Incredibly impressive, right, Ed?
I mean, we talked about this greatest prospect of a generation, but he is one of the greatest tight end prospects in recent history. He's got it all, hasn't he?
Yeah, fantastic athleticism. You know, he's quick off the mark, smooth running routes, phenomenal hands. He's got great technique, exceptional toughness. Bear in mind, he's 6'3" and 240 pounds. Last night, I watched a video of him doing one of the smoothest backflips I've ever seen.
Oh, I start most days with a backflip. I'll show you later.
Phenomenal talent. Expected to be a day one starter and expected to contribute. You know, there are some negatives. He's not an absolutely enormous guy, and he's not an amazing run blocker. So it might take him a little bit of a time to adapt to kind of that NFL level in year one. But everything I've seen about him, everything I've watched, everything I've read, you know, predicts him as being a phenomenal talent.
He is. I mean, we talked about different types of receiver in the wide receiver show, and he's effective in the slot out wide, or if he lines up in the middle, he's got it all. He is a good blocker. You're right, he's not a great blocker, but none of them are, especially at college level. So I think he's got the nous and the ability to learn that. I mean, he's such an athlete. He's so explosive, so powerful. He's not massive, but he does pack a punch.
It does make me chuckle, though. He's 6'3". Yeah, he's big enough.
He's big enough. He's big enough. I mean, one of the greatest stats that I read about him was last season, 486 yards after the catch.
Wow.
I mean, that is really high, especially college-level tight ends don't get used quite as much as they might potentially at elite level. He's guaranteed top 10 pick. Would you say?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely going top.
I mean, I've seen him linked with the Chargers landing spot. I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I think he's difficult to predict because he'll drop to someone and they'll go, regardless of whether they were in for a tight end, they'll think, well, we can't turn down a player like him.
All the mocks, I've seen him go top 10, you know, so around 8, that kind of thing. So.
And in your rookie fantasy drafts?
About 6, something like that. It depends on the league. If you're super flex, obviously you've got a few quarterbacks to pop in there, haven't you? You probably wouldn't take him over Marvin Harrison, Adunze, or Neighbours.
Yeah.
But actually, after that point, he's got to be a consideration, surely.
Years, and maybe, you know, depending on their landing spot, you might even go ahead of some of them. So he could creep into your top 5 in rookie drafts. You know, if he lands in the perfect landing spot, could do we have to say it now, he could do a Sam Laporta. You know, who knows?
Have you got any plans to try and draft him?
Yeah, I've got a few rookie picks in that sort of area, and I think I am really impressed by him. And there's a couple of leagues where I could do with a better tight end.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's always the question mark. Why are you never guaranteed with anything, are you? You know, will he settle? Will it be the right fit? But, yeah, I've been very impressed
by him. As we've all, you know, landing spot. We'll all come back to that.
Who knows? So, Brock Bowers, yeah, is a guaranteed number one, we would say. But after that, would we say it's difficult? I mean, there's a big drop-off, but then there's another couple, I'd say. So who's next?
So generally, again, consensus seems to be Jatavion Sanders. So 21 years old. He was a 5-star recruit coming out of college. Next-gen stats. So next-gen stats, if you go on the NFL.com, they give him a grade. He gets a grade of 81. Okay, so that's add for 100. So that puts him as a very good player. So 89 to 100 is what you class as an elite player. He gets an 81. He broke out very early in college and incredibly efficient in 2023. Zero drops on 63 targets. Here's a good one for you. Average 15 yards per catch.
Wow, yeah. That's really high.
And bearing in mind, you also have to understand, he played with Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell. So, yes, they're obviously going to pull some of the perhaps the better DBs away from him, but also he's managed to garner a reasonable amount of targets in that offense with those big playmakers.
Yeah, from what I've seen of Jatavion Sanders, he looks very talented. Maybe he's not as polished as Brock Bowers. He's not as complete an article as maybe Bowers is. But yeah, he's a very impressive pass catcher. Run blocking, from what I saw, is poor and definitely needs some work.
Literally seen him picked up and thrown aside by edges.
Yeah, and that is at college level. So, I mean, scouts looking at that, there will be massive alarm bells ringing, thinking, you know, the edges in the NFL. The likes of Hutchinson, Max Crosby would pretty much eat him for breakfast because there's a lot of work needed to improve this side of his game. He's a big guy, so he can dominate defensive backs. And like Bowers, he's also a threat after the catch. 346 yards after the catch in 2023. Yeah, he caught more balls than any other tight end in Texas Longhorns history.
Yeah.
99. I bet he was gutted he didn't quite get 100.
Yeah.
But yeah, 99 in history. In terms of where he's going to land, are we thinking like it's going to be late second round, maybe dropping to
maybe
the third round?
Maybe early third, yeah.
I mean, I've seen him linked with the Bengals because, I mean, Bengals potentially in for a tight end. I don't think they'll be looking at, Bowers wouldn't drop to them in the first round, but it might be that sort of area that they're looking.
So stay away then if he goes to the Bengals.
Yeah, stay away, yeah. But Bengals, then they're tight end curse.
I mean, there are a few negatives with him, aren't they? As we said, he's not that great blocker. Actually, as a traditional what we class Y receiver, so that tight end receiver, he's a tiny, tiny bit small, isn't he? And I mean, it was a bit of a depressing comparison, but I did read he was compared to Jared Cook, one of those elite athletic tight ends that perhaps aren't the best blocker, aren't the most naturally gifted at the game. But as a receiver, he's phenomenal, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think the comps are always, I mean, interesting. I think the comp with Brock Bowers was George Kittle. I mean, that's not a bad comp, is it? That's what you want to hear, isn't it? But that does sum up Bowers. You know, like Kittle, he could be, that absolute complete tight end. So, yeah, there's a bit of drop-off to Sanders, but then I think number three is on a similar sort of level.
Yeah, so next we're going to Cade Stover of Ohio State. So 24 years old, so he's a little bit older. Just to give you a comparison with that next-gen stat, we said that Sanders was 81. Well, Stover comes in around 79, so just slightly lower. As we said, an oldest prospect, but he's had quite an interesting career, right? Do you know much about it?
I know bits of it, but come on, enlighten me and the listeners,
Tom. So he's converted from a defensive lineman and a linebacker. So originally, that's what he was drafted at the college level. He transitioned to tight end in around 2020, but didn't really see a prominent role in until 2022. You know, as a tight end, he's been pretty good. He's flashed some reliable hands. You know, he's got a pretty good all-round skill set. If we look at the last 2 years, we've got 77 catches, 982 yards for 10 touchdowns. So that's not too bad over two seasons. He'll be 24-year-old rookie, so not ideal. And obviously, he's only really played 2 years at the position. However, here's another quote for you. In high school, he ran for 1,500 yards as a high school senior running back and played linebacker in the Rose Bowl to assist his team. I think the interesting thing for me about Stover is the amount of positions he's played. You know, he's played across the field. He's played as a running back. He's played on the defensive side of the field. So does that mean he's a jack of all trades, master of none? Or does that mean he's adaptable and he can learn and he's teachable?
Well, I think that says a lot in terms of his mental application and being able to learn those different roles. Of course, you know, at high school and college level, they're not as sophisticated as the elite level. But I think that's a positive. Did you?
I would say so.
Yeah, I think, you know, particularly, you know, surely to get inside the mind of a defender only helps you as an offensive player. Yeah, I mean, to me, Cade Stover, I mean, first of all, great name. Best name?
No, Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is a cool name.
Brock Bowers, yeah. yeah. But Kane Stover...
He's up there, it's up
yeah,
there.
Kane Stover's good. He looks like a tight end, doesn't he? He's got this huge frame, really physically imposing. A bit more on his background. His dad was a tight end in the 90s, so good stock. I don't know whether he was... I didn't follow NFL in the 90s, whether he was an elite tight end. But yeah, he's definitely got good tight end stock. He's more of a pass catcher than a blocker, as are many of these rookie tight ends. Really strong hands, and he's got that dual threat of speed to kind of elude defenders, but although he can use strength to run over them as well.
Yeah, he's got that stiff arm like Henry, hasn't he?
I think he will have a role in a team next year. I've seen the Jets as a likely landing spot. A bit like Jatavion Sanders, he's somebody that's probably going to go late second, early third round. And rookie drafts, a bit like Sanders, probably second round rookie drafts.
Yeah, you'd be taking him later, wouldn't you, after some of those wide receivers.
Again, landing spot dependent. Yeah. We're going to have lots more conversations about these players post-draft. Only a week away is the time of recording. Very exciting. And we find out exactly where they end up.
Fantasy football is all about collecting the best roster of players. So why not assemble your roster at home with some help from Stateside Sports? With over 30 sports trading card products in stock right now, Stateside Sports is the best place to grab the latest releases in sports trading cards. Collect autographs of your favorite stars, rookie cards of the hottest prospects, and rare super short print cards to make your collection as unique as your fantasy team. Start your search the best way possible. Visit statesidesports.co.uk now.
So, would we say that after those three, there's even more of a drop-off?
Yeah,
or...
I'd say you've got Bowers in tier on his own, probably those two in your second tier, and then again, yeah, there's a little bit of a... more of a punt on these ones, shall we
say. And who are we dropping to at number four, then?
Ben Sinnott of Kansas State. So, another young'un, 21 years old, very athletic...
You sound like... Well, I love when you say a young'un, like you're about 86.
another athletic tight end... decent pass catch, but again, an okay blocker. So interesting, he was a walk-on. Did you know that?
What does that mean?
So it means he didn't get a scholarship. He wasn't invited to come to the team. He just went and tried out.
Oh,
now,
right.
He was offered a scholarship, but he turned that down to go to Kansas and try it out as a walk-on. He added 40 pounds to his frame this year. So he has been accused of being a little bit small. He's incredibly quick. And even adding that weight, he's still very fast and very agile. He's played across the field. He's played tight end, running back, and wide receiver. Not loads at those other positions, but he's filled in where possible. Quick, very, very quick. Mm. And he gets into his roots really, really well. He's all right at contested catches. You know, he's fairly tough with his hands. He's got some run after the catch ability. His blocking is okay. He's quite strong. He just doesn't have very good technique. That's his issue. If he gets hold of you, he can block you. But more talented players will work past him.
Yeah, he's an interesting character, Benson. I mean, he strikes me as somebody with a potentially high ceiling. He's got quite a lot of development to do, possibly. He did have that breakout 2023, which has started to see the interest generated for him. 49 catches, 676 yards and 6 touchdowns. He is tough, isn't he? He looks to break through tackles, which sometimes can leave him a bit exposed. He can, like, get himself isolated. And I wonder whether, defensive players in the NFL might isolate him and expose that. He can make himself very tall. He scored very highly in his broad and vertical jumps, which makes him kind of quite enticing as a red zone threat. You know, he can make himself very big, a real strength of a tight end. Doesn't really have the strength. I mean, he is strong, but I'm not sure if he has that force to be a kind of inline blocker that some tight ends have. And that does affect his value. I've seen him linked with the Texans. He's certainly somebody that's going to drop down, what we think, in third round in the real draft.
Third to four, something like that.
And is he going to be I'm going to put my neck on the line, I'm going to do a pestle and say I don't think he's going to be fantasy relevant in 2024. What do you think?
They've re-signed Schultz, haven't they?
They have, yeah. So they might be looking as a sort of backup for him, possibly. Yeah. When I was looking, that was the only team I saw linked with him. But yeah, I mean, Sinnott's someone to keep an eye on. And again, depending on where he ends up, he might be relevant. He's got talent. He's got a ceiling. I think he's someone that might potentially have an impact in 2024, possibly not. Who are we moving on to? We rounded out our top five with...
Theo Johnson of Penn State. So he's another slightly older athlete at 23 years. It does sound stupid me saying that, doesn't it? Old at 23 years. Another one highly sought after straight out of high school. He had a really impressive final year. He started all games and tied the team in touchdowns for 7. He's the size to be a natural tight end, and he is an impressive specimen, I have to say. That is a muscular man.
He looks good on tape. Yeah. I did enjoy watching him.
Tested incredibly well at the combine. Obviously, we know the scouts will have one eye on that. Very good in contested catches, and particularly against man coverage. You'd expect, being a big old beast of a boy, you'd be able to bully them out of the way. Will teams see him as a prospect? You know, I'm sure one of those teams is going to look at him, think of him as a physical specimen. I mean, think about someone like Washington. Was it Darnell Washington last year?
Yes, yes.
You know, he obviously came out with those back problems, but at the combine, he looked great, and there was a massive buzz about him because of that physical ability. So perhaps Johnson's going to be in a similar sort of vein. Not a great blocker and not a lot of run after the catch ability, so he's like to sort of catch the ball and fall down. And he also didn't play a load in college. So he didn't get to 1,000 receiving yards in his entire college career. Now, a lot of the Titans don't get massively over that because they're not heavily featured of the offense. But, you know, ideally, over a 4-year career, because he's played longer, you'd expect him to get to 1,000 yards, really.
Yeah, with Theo Johnson, I think I just put a big question mark next to him because I think, as you say, he looks great. And, you know, he's physically very impressive and he's definitely got ability. I just don't know whether he's got the skill, the technique that he's going to need in the NFL because he hasn't played enough. And, you know, will that catch up with him? Who's going to take a punt on him? He is someone that potentially a franchise might take a leap of faith with.
Yeah, you can see a coach looking at him thinking, I can coach him. You know, they're all quite big-headed, aren't they? They all think they've got the Midas touch. You can see someone look at him and think, I'll take a punt on him. You know, I wouldn't be taking him early rookie drafts.
No.
You know, he's certainly going to be a late flyer, certainly someone you'd like to stick on your taxi squad. But, you know, all of these players are gamble. You know, we saw Kyle Pitts. You know, and I'll go back to him again, but he was the be-all and end-all. I heard about, you know, industry experts trading up to get the 101 so they could get him. You know, and he just hasn't panned out. And
he did. You forget, don't you, that he went 101 in every rookie draft, didn't he? And, you know, he was this kind of like golden egg type player, you know, once in a generation.
You know, but when we look back at players like Puka last year, you know, you never know who can pop up sometimes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he's an interesting character, Theo Johnson. But yeah, I'm not sure if I'd be taking a punt on him. And again, you know, a bit like Sinnott, I'm not sure we can really say that he's going to be fantasy relevant in 2024. He's going to be, he probably might get drafted in a rookie draft, but maybe like late third round, possibly
early fourth
if you go that low in your rookie drafts. So, I mean, no real other name. We could start talking about the dregs, but I think, you know, one or two might pop up in the sleeper picks in next week's show. But anything else to add, Tom?
I've got a little stat for you looking at the draft and, you know, tight ends. Don't be afraid to take a late round tight end, okay? So among last year's top 10 tight end fantasy producers in PPR formats, only Evan Engram, David Njoku, and TJ Hockenson were first round selections.
Right.
Okay, then you've got Sam Laporta, Trey McBride, and Cole Kmet all coming off the board in the second round, Kelsey in the third, Kittle in the fifth, Ferguson in the fourth, and Schultz in the fourth. So all of those top players really later selections.
Yeah, I mean, last year was fascinating with tight ends, you know, like the death of Kelsey, you know, which seemed, what he did in the playoffs didn't seem to come through. And then, you know, the new breed of tight end as well. And this year you've got Pitts back in the mix, and it's going to be really exciting. So, are we tight-ended out, Tom?
It's time to start preparing for the draft.
It is. So, yeah, as I say, as we're recording, 1 week to go into the draft. By the time you listen to it, you'll be down to a matter of days. I hope you've enjoyed listening to us without Pest on. I think we've got by without him, haven't we? I think we do all right.
Will you be staying up and watching the first round? Sometimes the first pick out about 1:40 or something like that.
No, I won't. Not on a Thursday night. I mean, if I can remember, I did stay up the year when Bengals were drafting Burrow just because I wanted to see that moment. That's historic for the franchise.
Do you like watching it? I love watching it.
It's one of my favourite parts. I will record it and I'll get him on Friday night, watch it with a beer. I love it all. It's just the razzmatazz. It's so American, isn't it? And you know, the families and the ones who like expect to go early and they keep going to them and they're getting more and more depressed.
That's so mean.
I love everything about it. So as I say, next week's show will be Mark with a special guest, so look forward to that. You won't be hearing from Tom and I again until after the draft, where we will look at some of these rookies post-draft and how that might have affected our thoughts on them. But there's only one more thing to do. Tom, do you want to call the cab?
Malcolm, take us home.
You have been listening to the team from TH Fantasy Football. For more content, follow TH_Fantasy_NFL on Twitter and Instagram.